قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. فإذا قيل لك ما الأصول الثلاثة التي يجب على الإنسان معرفتها؟ If it's said to you, what are the three principles which a person must know? فقل معرفة العبد ربه ودينه ونبيه محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then say it's the servant's knowledge of his Lord and his religion and his prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإذا قيل لك من ربك، فإذا قيل لك من ربك، if it's said to you who is your Lord، فقل ربي الله الذي رباني وربى جميع العالمين بنعمه. فقل ربي الله الذي رباني وربى جميع العالمين بنعمه. Then say the answer to that, my Lord is Allah who has nurtured me and all of the creation with all the favors and blessings. وهو معبودي وليس لي معبود سواه. وهو معبودي وليس لي معبود سواه. He is the one whom I worship and there's no one other than him and besides him that I worship. والدليل, and this is exactly where we stopped off. والدليل قوله تعالى الحمد لله رب العالمين. The proof is all praise for Allah, the Lord of all creation. All praise for Allah, the Lord of all the creation. The Lord of the creation. And that's the proof. He's the one who nurtured. He's the one who sustained. We established that. And he's the one who gave us all the blessings. He's the creator. The owner of the universe, he's the one who controls all the affair, he's the mighty and majestic one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the Lord, and that is the one who is worthy of our worship. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah is proof Allah is worthy of ibadah. How? Because he nurtured us. He gave not us only, the universe. And he's the only one, therefore, worthy of being worshipped since he gave us all that. Alhamd is admitting thanks to the one being thanked. The verse he chose, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, is the first verse in the Quran. Of course, there's a dispute whether Bismillah is or not, but Alhamdulillah is mostly the first verse in the Quran. It's also the last of the dua of the people in Jannah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَاهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The close of their request is الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ in Jannah. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ, the alif in lam in الْحَمْدُ is called لِلْإِسْتِغْرَاقِ, meaning it includes all things. لِلْإِسْتِغْرَاقِ meaning all things, every type of things. Belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every type of things that existed or is existing or will exist. لِلْإِسْتِغْرَاقِ means all of that. The alif lam means all of that belongs to Allah. Alhamdu lillah. Lillah. The lam in lillah, the first lam in lillah, this comes to mean two things. It comes to mean ownership. لِلْمُلْكِ. It means ownership when it's proceeded with an appointed specified item. When that lamb is preceded with a specified item, like you say, ad-daru li Khalid, the house is for Khalid, that means the lamb here is the lamb of ownership, lamb mulk. Why? Because it was preceded with a specified item. Li Khalid means a specified item was before, which is the house, or it could be a car or a pen or a laptop. So that means when it's a specified item before that lamb, that means the lamb, that's the lamb of the ownership. But lamb also comes to mean istihqaq, which means something, someone worthy of a quality or a matter. For example, you say al-fakhru li Khalid, al-izzu li Khalid, honors for Khalid. Honor is not an appointed item like a car we said earlier, but rather it's a quality, meaning honor is a ma'ani. In Arabic, it's called a ma'ani, not a specified item. So lamb in lillah means he is worthy and deserves all things. Why? Because alhamd before it is a ma'ani. It's not a specified item. So it's lamb al-istihqaq instead of lamb al-mulk. Some distinction, grammar thing that you would learn. It also means lam lillah, in addition to istihqaq, also ikhtisas, which means hamd is a specialty only to Allah. It's a specialty. It also comes to mean ikhtisas, only for Allah. Alhamd, all. Alif lam means all. And the lam in lillah means worthy, ikhtisas. And means istihqaq, means he deserves it. So that's alhamdulillah. That's the definition of alhamd. Alhamdulillah linguistically. Definition of it is remembering the beauties of Allah. Over here it's Allah, but it's overall the definition of alhamd is remembering the beauties of the one thing, showing love, glorification, and majesty to him. ذِكْرُ مَحَاسِنِ الْمَحْمُودِ مَعْ حُبِّ وَتَعْظِيمِ وَإِجْلَالِ. That's the definition Ibn Taymiyyah chose for alhamd. You must have all those conditions and qualities when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you think Allah without the condition, for example, of love, or without the condition of glorification, for example, that would not constitute hamd. That's something different called maybe madh, which is praise, but it's not the high status of alhamd that we are talking about over here. So that's linguistically in shari'i, alhamdulillah. What's the difference between alhamd and shukr? In Arabic, both mean the same thing. Similar, very similar things. They basically mean thanking someone. Hamd, however, usually involves the tongue, thanking by the tongue. Shukr could be by the tongue mostly and action as well. You don't say, for example, hamidallah bifi'li. You don't say, I did hamd to Allah by my action. Generally speaking, you don't say it. That's not the way it's said. Shukr is by tongue and by action. Hamd is usually by tongue. That's why when Allah mentioned parents in the Quran, what did He say? Did He say hamd or shukr? Anishkur li wa li walidayka. Because when you're thanking your parents, you're not just saying it verbally. It involves other more broader acts of serving, other physical acts of helping them, in addition to the verbal. So he said, anishkur, instead of anihmid. So in a one-liner, shukr is a much more broader term than hamd. Hamd is what you may say is a sub or part of shukr. Alhamdulillah. This here shows tawheed al-uluhiyya. Allah, the name, linguistically comes from al-ilah, and we went over that. We gave you the breakdown before. Al-uluhiyya comes from ilah, and that is tawheed al-uluhiyya. They're both derivative of the same root word. So alhamdulillah is tawheed al-uluhiyya. And to show you how important tawheed al-uluhiyya, look at the first tawheed al-uluhiyya by name, by alam. The first tawheed al-uluhiyya by name, by alam, and by act, and by order. There's by name, act, and order. The first indicator or proof of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya in the Quran by name, by alam, is Alhamdulillah. That's why he said Alhamdulillah. He didn't say Alhamdulillah or Jabbar. Alhamdulillah, because it's the name that encompasses the meanings of all other names, Allah, al-ilah, and it shows tawheed al-uluhiyya by alam. So this is by alam, by name. That establishes tawheed uluhiyya by name. Keeping in mind, like I said, the scholars dispute whether Bismillah is the first ayah or not. That's the first way tawheed al-uluhiyya is established by name. Then the tawheed uluhiyya by act or a verb is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. That's tawheed uluhiyya by act, by verb. That indicates not only present, because it's a fi'al mudara, it means now and continuous in the future. Both present and continuous. And that's in a fi'al. So the first in alam is alhamdulillah. The first in an act or verb is iyyaka na'bud. And that's for present, continuous. And then the first order of tawheed al-uluhiyya is in Surah Al-Baqarah, I believe verse 29. Ya ayyuhan nasu u'budu rabbakum. That's how you have the first indications in the Quran of tawheed al-uluhiyya in alam and in fi'l and in amr. In alam form, in fi'l form, and in amr form. That covers alhamdulillah. Now we move on, the next two terms, rabbil alameen. We defined rabb last week, I think. The Lord of the universe. Rabb is the Lord. And we mentioned that when it's combined with al, rabb al alameen, al-rabb, that can only be Allah. If you say al-rabb, that's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, you and me, I could be rabb al-dar, the Lord of my house, because I control my family. And likewise you. But when it's al-rabb, that only means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabb al-alameen, Allah says he is worthy of thanks. Alhamdulillah. He tied it to the Lord of the universe, Rabb al-Alameen. Why? To show you who is worthy of worship and how he is worthy of worship. Allah said he is worthy of all things. He tied it to being the Lord of the universe, Rabb al-Alameen, to show who and why he is worthy of worship. Why is he worthy of Alhamdulillah or Tawheed al-Uluhiyya? Because he is Rabb al-Alameen. Alameen is plural of alam, which is a term that means the universe. And more precise definition, it's everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How is it related to being proof to the author's statement? The author said, فَقُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي رَبَّانِي وَرَبَّى جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنِعَمِهِ. Why did he use it as proof? Why? He said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The one who created the universe, the one who nurtured the universe, he's my Lord, Rabbil Alameen. It's answered, why is he my Lord? Because he is Rabbil Alameen. Why do I give him my worship? Because he is Rabbil Alameen. Therefore, when that's established, that he is Rabbil Alameen, then he is the one worthy of my ibadah and no one other than him. Then, the author said, and if you don't have the books, you're going to get lost. Because as you know, and you noticed, we're going through this sentence by sentence, nearly word by word actually, almost sometimes letter by letter. If you don't have a book in front of you, you're gonna, even if you have it memorized, you're gonna get lost. So bring your copy with you. And you remember I used to bring my copy. And it was my copy that I used to bring over here, the yellow book, was the one I memorized actually, Usul al-Thalatha with it, when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. But someone dear asked to keep it, and I gave it as a gift to them, and I sent it to them. I'll start bringing another copy. I'll find another copy, and inshallah, I'll start bringing it. But if you're taking notes, when you're taking notes on your laptop, and you have it, and you're looking at it while you are typing notes, then that's good. But other than that, you should have a copy with you. You look at it, because you'll get lost without that. So the next sentence, he said, وَكُلُّ مَنْ سِوَى اللَّهِ عَالَمٌ. Everything besides Allah is created. And I am one of those creations. This is really the tafsir of رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That's why we have number one, that He's the Lord. that He created everything, and that's why He is worthy of worship. So al-alamin is plural of alam, like we said, and that's everything in the world. Alam al-ins, alam al-jinn, alam al-tayr, alam al-nabat, plants are alam, the jinn are alam, the waters are alam. And then he said, he brings it close to him, he says, and I am one of that universe, and I'm part of that universe. Al-alamin is plural of alam, and it's all creation, all of alam. And it's said to be derivative from the word alama, sign. Because the sky, the earth, the alam of the sky, the alam of the earth, the alam of the plants, the alam of the oceans, everything we see are signs. They're the signs of the Creator, that He nourishes and sustains and takes care of and created all that. So the author said, وَكُلُّ مَنْ سِوَى اللَّهِ عَالَمٌ وَأَنَا وَاحِدٌ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَالَمِ. Everything besides Allah is a created being. And I am one of the created beings. Me, who's speaking, who's reading to you, I am part of that universe. I'm nurtured and I'm raised and I'm created by Allah. So he's basically bringing the point home when he says, and I am part of that creation. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ. Then he moves on to the next sentence. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ. So if it's said to you, how now? We gotta know, we established the fact you know your Lord. How did you arrive at this knowledge that He's your Lord? You need knowledge, which is the ma'rifah of the rububiyyah. And now you need to know how you found that. How did I get the answer? That's a follow-up question to the original question. Here, bima arafta rabbak, the ba' in bima, is ba' al-sababiyyah. The ba' of why. Why? Ba' al-sababiyyah. Bima, the ba' al-sababiyyah. It's a matter of ghaib. It's a matter of unseen. So how do we know this if it's a matter of unseen? How did we find that out, this knowledge? Because Allah describes us as the believers in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ. Then answer, فَقُلْ بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُقَاتِهِ. The answer is, بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُقَاتِهِ. Then say, through His signs and through things which He has created. Through His signs and through things which He has created. One way we know our Lord is by the covenants He took from us. Covenants. And there's three of them. The first covenant with Allah, the first covenant, when Allah brought forth from the children of Adam, from their loins, the seed of covenant, which, and He made them testify upon themselves. Allah said, am I not your Lord? أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. They said, yes. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. That's the first covenant. That's the first covenant. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The second covenant is the covenant of the fitra, mithaq al-fitra. This is another covenant which also affirms the first covenant by Allah, that He created us on the fitra. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. The covenant of fitra, O Muhammad, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, set your face towards the religion, حَنِيف, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا, which is meaning worshiping Allah purely, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. That's the fitrah which Allah created mankind on. That's the second covenant. The fitrah which Allah created mankind on. And you know the hadith of Abu Hurairah, the hadith sahih, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every newborn is born on fitrah. This is the second covenant. At the end of the hadith, he says the parents change him into Judaism, Christianity, and so on and so forth. But he doesn't say in the hadith that they change him to Islam. He didn't say Yuslimani, Yuhawidani, Yunassirani. He said Yuhawidani, Yunassirani. He didn't say Yuslimani. Why? Because he was born Muslim. You don't change him. That's what he was born on. The pure fitrah is one knows his tawheed. Is that enough? Are those two covenants enough? It's not enough. There's a third covenant. That's the covenant when Allah sent the messengers affirming the previous covenants, رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل. So the fitra is توحيد. If one is left alone, he would be on توحيد. Allah said in the hadith القدسي, خلقت عبادي حنفاء فجاءتهم الشياطين فاجتالتهم عن ديني, من حديث صحيح مسلم. عياض بن حمار رضي الله عنه said, Allah said, that's a hadith قدسي, I created all my slaves on the Hanifiyya and the Tawheed, and the shayateen changed them. Those are the three covenants which we must know, and these are the covenants which we, Allah told us the answer to, man rabbuk. Those are three covenants you should know about. فإذا قيل لك من ربك, فإذا قيل لك بما عرفت ربك, فقل بآياتي ومخلوقاتي. Through his signs and through things which he has created. Those covenants are proof that we know Allah, that it's the fitra, that when he created us, he says, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ? And we said, yes, it's a covenant he took upon us. Intellect proof is also additional proof in addition to that. Every creation needs a creator. Do all these creations, alameen that we mentioned about, exist by themselves or by chance? If you say they exist by themselves, that's rationally impossible. It was first non-existent. So how can it exist when it was non-existent? The non-existent is nothing until it exists. It's not able to bring itself into existence. That's common sense. If you also say they exist by chance, then we say this is also impossible. Do cars, do planes, do rockets, do computers, do other forms of machinery, do they exist by chance? The atheists or deniers of Allah who don't know man rabbuk would definitely reply to you, tell you there are no cars and rockets and planes and computers. They don't come by chance. That's impossible. They all tell you that it's impossible. So we say to them, then how do the birds, the mountains, the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and the coal and the seas and everything that's in between the heavens and the earth, how can that exist by chance? You remember the story of Abu Hanifa and the atheist? The one when he debated over the existence of Allah and they couldn't believe that a ship made itself? So the author says, فَقُلْ بِآيَاتِي وَمَخْلُقَاتِ. He is stating that the creation of Allah, بِآيَاتِي وَمَخْلُقَاتِ, that's to prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To prove this whole universe doesn't come by coincidence, but by a creator. Now, when you say that, بِآيَاتِي وَمَخْلُقَاتِ, look at the universe, how it was created and who created it. Is that text or intellect? That's intellect overall. The author mentioned ayatu makhluqati, the signs, the night, the day, the sun, the moon, and then he followed it by two verses. He used intellect, but he followed it by two verses, combining between intellect and the text of the Quran. He's going to mention two ayat to prove this. Some may understand when we say intellect that it's only the mind. But rather, mental proof or intellect, when we say it, it's restrained and governed by the guidance and under the umbrella of the text. Look what I mean. When I say, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرُ. That night, the day, in all the creation, that's intellect. Look at the creation, we say, that's intellect. The Quran says, look at the creation. That's intellect, but it's derived in restraint from the Quran. If it's unrestrained by the Quran and the hadith and the wahi, then you open the door for the unhatched, underdeveloped minds to speak ignorance, thinking they are smart, like the modernists of the day, of today do. So he said, we know Allah بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُقَاتِهِ. And here, ayat, let's stop at ayat. Ayat are two types. Ayat shar'iyya, that is the revelation. When we say ayat shar'iyya, that's the revelation said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Revelation by which is the revealed way, which is the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's ayat shar'iyya. That's what is meant in the verse huwa alladhi yunazzilu ala 'abdihi ayatin bayyinat. But how is revelation a miracle? How is revelation? He said this is proof on the existence of Allah. How is revelation? Because revelation is complete, it's total, it's organized, it's consistent, it's non-contradictory, it's infallible. Allah said, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found a lot of contradictions in it. لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. So that is the revelation, the ayat al-shar'iyya is proof of the Creator in itself. It's proof of the Creator also, and more importantly, in the challenge, which is the miracle. The, when we say the miracle of the Quran, it's that challenge. When Allah challenged them all, bring a Quran like it. They couldn't. And we're still waiting for it. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ هُوَ أَهْدَى بِكِتَاب. Bring a book. Another verse challenging them when they couldn't bring a Quran. Okay, just bring us 10 surahs like it. أَمْ يَقُولُوا نَفْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُورَ. Just 10 surahs like it. Then the final challenge, give us a line like it. وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِمْ مِثْلِهِ. 3 challenges. All those billions and billions and trillions on top of trillions you've been spending all these years to destroy and fight Islam. Save it. Have one of your orientalists. Who though they claim they're eloquent and they're artistic in the Arabic, and some of them are very good in the Arabic language. You give them that. Or have one of their baby chicks in the Muslim countries who align themselves with them. Bring us an ayah like it. You'll prove our religion wrong and you'll save your trillions instead of fighting Islam. But they couldn't and they won't and they will not. This is proof of how we know my Rabbuk. That's one of the proofs we know how Marab. In addition to the covenant, this is also proof. Not only was it a dare or a double dare, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. A challenge in the highest degree of challenge. The Quran says, we challenge you. And not only is it challenge, but the highest degree of challenge, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. We challenge you and we tell you, you're not going to do it. It's impossible. That's why he said, بِآيَاتِ وَمَخْلُقَاتِ. So the first meaning of ayat, when we say ayat, ayat shar'iyya. Another meaning that ayat comes to mean, the second meaning that it could mean, is ayat, which is signs. Not in revelation, but in creation. Like for example, it's called ayat kawniyya, as opposed to ayat shar'iyya. Like the creation of the human beings, like the creation of the sky, the earth, the moons. That's ayat kawniyya. Animals, plants, that's ayat kawniyya. Versus the one I mentioned earlier, which is ayat shar'iyya. So when you hear ayat, it could mean both ayat shar'iyya or ayat kawniyya. It depends on the context it's in or the intention of the one who says it. It could mean one of them, which is ayat shar'iyya is the revelation. Ayat kawniyya is the signs of creation like the earth, the night, the day, the animals, the plants. So the next issue, now the author says, بِآيَاتِ وَمَخْلُقَاتِ. Why did he mention ayat and then makhluqat? He said signs and then he mentioned creation. Had he said ayat, it would include, by both definitions we just mentioned, creation, as we stated. Why did he mention and add ayat and then add the word creation? What I'm saying, and I want you to get this, had he said ayatihi alone, as we defined it, it would have meant, possibly meant, shar'iyya in kawniyya, which is revelation and other signs of Allah's creations. Why did he say ayat then follow it by creation? He could have said signs and that's it. Ayat and that's it, period there. But he said makhluqatih. The answer to that, it depends on the definition of ayat that he intended. We don't know what he intended when he said ayat. So let's take the scenarios one by one. He could have intended, the first scenario, he could have intended the kawniyya and shar'iyya, both of them together. Now if that's his intention, why did he add makhluqati then, creation after that? That in Arabic is like mentioning something particular
after something general to give importance to that specific or particular. That in Arabic is called عطف الخاص على العام على سبيل الاهتمام بالخاص. عطف الخاص على العام على سبيل الاهتمام بالخاص. For those of you who memorize the Ajrumiyyah, وذكر خاص بعد ذي عمومي منبها بفضله المحتومي. Mentioning something particular after that which is general to give importance to the specific or particular. That's number one. That's number one. And that would be the answer to why he mentioned creation, if he meant كونية شرعية by آيات. Okay, let's go to the second, number two, the scenario. He may have intended to mean the word آيات only, the شرعي definition alone, meaning the revelation. So if he meant only the revelation, then he meant creation. Then he said creation because he needed to add that. So he followed it by creation to encompass and include everything other than revelation. That's if he meant the shar'i meaning of ayat. Meaning, what he meant by signs ayat. When he said by ayat, signs, we're assuming in the second scenario, he's referring to the signs of revelation in particular. So then he said creation as an addition, which is totally different from the first one. So the first one, ayat, he meant right now, ayat, which is revelation. So he added on creation to add all the other creation. Ayat would mean revelation only in this scenario. So makhluqat would mean everything outside of the revelation, which is the heaven, the earth, the night, the day, me, you, the moon, and everything else. The third scenario, he may have meant and intended by ayat, the kawniyya definition alone. The signs in the creation. It's what is called in Arabic, atf tafsir, if he meant that. Combining between two things of the same. Meaning, with ayat, he meant in this scenario, the creation, the kawniyya. So then why did he say makhluqat, which means the same thing? They're both the same. Why did he mean, say two words to mean the same thing? In Arabic, that's proper. And there's example of it in the Quran. Millat Ibrahim Hanifa. Millat Ibrahim is Hanifa. Hanifa is Millat Ibrahim. It's combining between two things that are same to stress a point. Does everyone understand? Anyone not understand? What you need to understand is the ayah is defined as shar'i in kawni. Shar'i in kawni has two meanings. Then, what did the author mean when he said ayat? Did he mean both kawni and shar'i, which was the first scenario I mentioned? Or did he mean shar'i alone with the ayat when he mentioned ayat? Or did he mean the kawni alone when he meant ayat? And we gave the breakdown for every one of those three scenarios. He's not here for us, the author's not here for us to ask. And even if he was, and we knew precisely what he meant, knowing all three scenarios and all three definitions of ayat, and why he would add creation to each one, combining ayati and makhluqati, why he would add makhluqati to ayati, and we gave the three scenarios of ayat, it would give us a broader understanding. And in the future, we'll make books that you read in the future, the ulama, easier. It's matters like these that distinguish between one who has superficial knowledge and one who is a talib ilm, and a strong talib ilm. And that's what we, inshallah, plan to raise. So the author says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. From the signs, now he goes to elaborate more, from the signs are the night and the day, the sun and the moon. And I don't want to speculate on which one of the three the author possibly intended. It doesn't really matter. من هنا للتبعيد, meaning among the ayat. ومن مخلوقاته السماوات السبع والأراضون السبع. From من هنا للتبعيد. Some. He created the seven heavens and the seven earth. ومن فيهن. The seven heavens, seven earth, وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ, and those within them. Within them, what? The creation is like the mountains, the oceans, in the earth. And in the heavens, what? Like, for example, the angels, the Bayt al-Ma'mur, and everything else. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Then he added, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. What's in them? وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and what's between them, to encompass everything. Everything that's between what? Between the heavens and the earth. What we see, what we know, and that which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Note, these two statements, look carefully at the choice of examples he gave us and how he distinguished between the two. He made a distinction between the two. And follow with me so you'll get it. He distinguished, for example, between the sun and the moon, the day and the night on one side, and he said they are a sign and an ayah. Then he said, وَمِن مَخْلُوقَاتِ, first one was a sign, and he gave some examples. Then he said, وَمِن مَخْلُوقَاتِ, and he gave examples, which is the heaven and the earth. You see that in front of you in the book. That's a delicate reason for him to do that distinction. He could have combined between all of them. But he separated using ayah for one category and creation for another. And there's a delicate reason for that. What was the purpose for separating? First, analyze with me. Analyze with me the examples. He said, from his signs, from his ayat, examples of ayat, he said, is the night and the day. The sun and the moon. Night, day, sun and moon. What do you see when you see these examples? They move. They change. The night into day, the day into night, the moon and the sun, they change. They change. Then he said about the heaven and the earth, and from that which he has created are the seven heavens and the seven earths below us. Seven heavens above us and the seven earths below us. Do those change? The earth has been there since you were born and prior to that. And it'll be there when you die and after that. You see it every day. You sky. You see it every day. It doesn't go and come like the moon and the sun, like the night and day. It doesn't go. They're static. Unlike the first group. They're fixed. They're unchanged. They don't go and come. Seeing the sky and the earth, the heavens, seeing the heavens and the earth every day, day after day, mentally, people get immune or what you would call numb. Numb from seeing how it is, from seeing how it's a miracle. It's a sign from Allah. Most people get used to them, seeing them every day, that they no longer see them as an ayah. And they need to be reminded. They become something casual because you see it every day, constantly. We have to remind ourselves, we have to remind others to know and understand that this earth that we step on every single day in the heavens above us, that's a miracle, that's a sign, that's an ayah from Allah. But a lot of people become numb to that fact because it's there, it doesn't change. However, those that go and come and change, like the sun and the moon, the night and the day, for the general layman, they see that more of as a miracle. And whoever's learning this question, مَنْ رَبُّكْ, it's usually beginners. If we teach it to people, مَنْ رَبُّكْ, it's beginners. And they are the laymen usually who overlook the miracles that are constant, that are static, that don't change. Look closely at the story of Ibrahim, and this will probably get you to understand it. He could have chosen a lot of miracles. There's plenty of miracles to choose. When Ibrahim was debating his people, what did he use as proof? Did he use things that change or things that are not static? Look at the verses. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. He's seen the stars. كَوْكَب. He said, look at that miracle. What did he use after that? The sun, the moon. He used signs that move. Ayat that move, because people can relate to that. It goes and comes, someone's bringing that, moving it. But he didn't say, look at the heaven, look at the earth, which he could have used, and they are ayat. But he's talking to laymen who don't understand it because they see it constantly. It's actually a very wise, calculated move by the author when he separated the examples the way he did. All our miracles, and all our great miracles, but some change and some remain static. So he distinguished between the categories there. Next, he mentioned some of the biggest signs that we see, which are night, day, sun, moon, heavens, and earth. For what? For proof on how you know man rabbuk. For proof on how you know man rabbuk. It's not a simple question. If it's simple to you, say alhamdulillah. If it's deeply rooted in your heart, don't take it for granted that I know man rabbuk. No. Say alhamdulillah. That's a blessing. And that's a big blessing. You know, I get a lot of calls. Hundreds and hundreds of calls. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And I try to answer all of them. And inshallah, I will answer every one of them. There's a specific number of questions that are the most common ones. For example, sisters wanting to go to Syria without the idhn of their wali, without his permission. You know, those are among the top questions. Among the top questions, for example, is this matter right here. Just like that, is sisters or brothers who have doubts in man rabbuk. Amazing, brothers and sisters. You can tell that they have iman, but the shaitan is working. The shaitan goes to the houses that have a lot of goodies in them. He doesn't go to abandoned houses. He goes there to destroy those houses. And that's why we need this knowledge. So when the doubts come, we fight them and resist them. That's why I say alhamdulillah if man rabbuk is firmly rooted in your heart. This statement here helps a lot of those facing that struggle. The moon, the statement of the moon, the sun, the heavens, the earth, what's between them, what's in them, the night and the day, that helps a lot of those who face that struggle, especially those when they have a calamity and their iman begins to shake. Why do you think they're repeated so much in the Quran? The beautiful sun is a sign. It's from Ayatullah. The sun that rotates upon its own axis, the sun that completes a rotation of approximately almost every 30 days. The sun, along with its planets, orbits the center of the galaxy, the Milky Way, at a speed of about 220 kilometers per second. Per second. Look at the moon. The moon doesn't follow a regular orbit like the satellites of other planets. It actually orbits the Earth. It sometimes moves behind it and sometimes moves in front of it. The moon moves with the Earth around the sun, and it actually follows a S-like pattern. A pattern that resembles the letter S. All that, the sun, the planets, and their satellites, and other objects are in constant motion above us. There are billions of galaxies. Billions of galaxies. They move at speeds of thousands of kilometers an hour through space. Do they ever collide with one another? وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدًا وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ صُنْعَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ إِنَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَفْعَلُونَ. When Allah talks about His creation in one of the verses, like these that we're supposed to look into and contemplate and think, He is the all-truthful. And He is the all-worthy of praise and all of our praise. He says, "In it, sun Allah, the work of Allah, wa alladhi atqana kulli, who perfected all things, alladhi atqana kulli shay." The unstatic sun that moves in a definite orbit is a sign of Allah, subhanahu wa taala. Wa shamsu tajri li mustaqarin laha, dhalika taqdiru al-aziz al-alim. The sun is traveling at the enormous speed of 720,000 kilometers an hour. The sun, the stars, the planets, they travel over 17 million kilometers a day. That's 17 million kilometers a day is 10.5 million miles a day. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْحُبُكِ, a sky full of paths and orbits. When the shaitan comes knocking with those doubts, read and learn what it means when we say to look into ayatullah, shams wal qamar wal layl wal nahar. When we say the sky is a miracle, is an ayah, to to prove مَنْ رَبُّكْ. Do we understand what that means? 20 billion galaxies. Each galaxy has 20 billion stars in it. Most of the stars have planets. And most of those planets have satellites. Who made all those bodies move in a precise computed orbit? Who did that? Not for a year or two or a day or two or 100 years or 200 years, but for millions of years. They've been moving like that for millions of years. They move and swim in such harmony. The perfected work of Allah, الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. When the iman and man rabbuk begins to shake, ask yourself, those galaxies traveling at that great speed in a calculated, computed, planned orbit, none of those cross the path of each other. They don't cross the path of each other. And none of them collide with each other. Who perfected that? صُنَعَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Then after the moon and the sun and their details, look into the day and the night. Didn't Allah tell us to do that? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرِ. The night and the day. The night and the day. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرِ. The night changes to day and the day. How they wrap one another. يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ. يُكَوِّر is a word used to refer to something like how one wraps a turban around his head. The day wraps to the night, and the night wraps into the day. يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. Look at the sky and look again and again and keep looking over and over. Then you will have no room for doubts in your heart. Allah said it. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. Look at this verse with me. He created 7 heavens above each other. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. You can see no fault in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. Allah said then, look again and again. He knows we're human. He knows some may have these doubts penetrate into them. He gave us the cure to them. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ. Look again and again. Can you see any rifts? هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ means, can you see any rifts? فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. سَمِعْنَا وَطَعْنَا. We say, we hear, we obey, we adhere. Let's look again and again. The author said, what's between them and what's in them? The heavens and the earth, what's between them, what's in them. Do you know Allah created the atmosphere? It's what we call in Arabia, غِلَافِ الْأَرْضِ الْجَوِّي. غِلَافِ الْأَرْضِ الْجَوِّي is what's the atmosphere. Do you know what that is? Had Allah not created the atmosphere, غِلَافِ الْأَرْضِ الْجَوِّي, millions of نيازك المريخ, they're called in English meteoroids, they would fall on this earth and the earth would become an unlivable, an uninhabitable place. The sun releases energy. It releases energy. A single sunburst from the sun is equivalent to thousands of atomic bombs. A single burst of energy from the sun is equivalent, I think I read one time, over 100 billion atomic bombs. One burst. Allah protects us from that with a creation they call atmosphere. Doesn't that boost your iman? The atmosphere that Allah created is to protect us from the freezing colds, which range from below 300 degrees. 300 degrees below zero. Look at the sky and wonder, do you know what they refer to? In English, it's called the Van Allen belt. Do you know what that is? You know what radiation is? Before I tell you what that is, you know radiation, toxic radiation. You always see it around hospitals or chemical factories. Around hospitals, they use it for cancer patients. In fact, recently I went with a dear brother. May Allah, he's cured, alhamdulillah, now he's doing good. May Allah continue in good upon him and his family. I went with him to the hospital. He's getting a simple treatment. One day treatment, walking in and out. What amazed me is after I was walking out with him, out of the treatment, the doctors and staff were dodging us. The area we're in is actually for radiation. And when we would walk, or the area we sat in after he was out, he said, look at them. They walk and take a long way to avoid where we're sitting. They know that he just had a treatment. And they want to avoid going near him. Because they know of the exposure of being near him. That's a simple dosage. That's a simple, tiny dosage of radiation. Very small, limited dosage. The sun and the stars constantly, ongoing, constantly, they always emit a deadly radiation. And just imagine with me the dosage that comes from the massive outbursts of energy. The solar flares. The solar flares coming from the sun and the stars would destroy this earth. At an altitude of about 500 miles that extends tens of thousands of kilometers and miles into space, there's what they call the Van Allen Belt. A creation from Allah to shield us and protect us against harmful radiation from the sun and the stars. Subhanallah alladhi atqana kulla shay. A perfect system. A perfect system high above us. Precisely fixed and calculated to the detail, to the smallest detail. Who could have done that for but Allah? Remember the story of Abu Hanifa where the atheist could, when he debated him, the atheist couldn't believe that a ship came into creation by chance. They couldn't believe that. But a universe could come into this, into being by chance. Look at the Bedouin. He said the same thing we're saying in a simple, easy way. He told the atheist, you see the marks in the sand? You see it in the sand? You see those marks in the sand? What do they indicate to you, you dumb atheist? He said, a camel went by. The footsteps looked like a camel, so a camel went by. So the Bedouin responded, he said, did you see the camel? The man said, no, but these footsteps, the stupid atheist said, no, but these footsteps in the sand suggest that a camel was here. He said, they're in a desert. He said, you see those mountains? You see those mountains? They are indicative to me, that Allah made them and created them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla fi ula. Do you see layers on top of layers above us, heavens? Each of those has its assigned specific duty. Duties for rain. Duties to prevent, a layer to prevent harmful rays. A layer to reflect the radio waves. A layer to avert the harmful effects of meteors. Look at the mountains. Look at the mountains like the Bedouin said. What's between them? The author told us what's between them and what's in them. Look what the Bedouin said. The mountains. The great magnificent creation. Mountains that have a portion like them going downwards. As large as their visible parts on top of the earth. Was that by a mistake? Could that have been a mistake? Mountains on this earth are like what you would probably say, nails to keep pieces of wood together. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَا أَن تَمِيدَ بِهِمْ. What is in this earth and what's in it and what's between it? In 1 second, approximately 16 million tons of water evaporate from the earth. That's approximately 500 trillion tons of water in 1 year that evaporate. Isn't that a sign of Allah? If the universe with all their might and their power and their technology came to try to do that and to get the water evaporate, they couldn't do that. But do you know what's even more amazing than that? That every year, the amount of water that evaporates, Allah sends us and falls back in rain, a similar amount. A similar amount falls back. وَالَّذِي نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ فَأَنْشَرْنَا بِهِ بِقَدَرٍ in a specified amount. فَأَنْشَرْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا كَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. A balance, calculated, precise amount. Every drop of rain was calculated by Allah. A continuous cycle. Any minor, slight deviation from that would mean that me and you are not going to be existing. Nothing would be living. Look at the winds. The winds, you can't see them. They move. And they go to the water. In a precise, calculated, circulated motion, they move the water. That motion makes waves. And that's the first of many, many more steps to come that Allah created as means to bring us rain. Look at yourself. Look at you. Look at me. I'm not going to say, look what the verse said. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. We're drowned. We're drowned above our heads in the blessings. A nourishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I won't say look at me and you from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. But rather look at what we were created from. Nutfat al-mani, the sperm that Allah created us from. A simple sperm. That simple sperm contains so many fluids that blow a mind. Did you know that simple fluid, that simple drop has a calculated, a specified, precise level, calculated amount of sugar in it that gives it energy? Do you ever think about the 250 million sperms that a male emits? 250 million. Only 1,000 of them reach baydat al-unta, ovum of a woman. A rigorous journey that is like a 5-minute race to reach the ovum of a woman. The ovum is half the size of a grain of a salt. Out of the 1,000, only one of those sperms reach it. Perfect world of Allah. 250 million to 1,000 to one to reach its destination in a 5-minute race in a journey. For an atheist, all that, for an atheist bum to come and say, who did that? Who created that? I don't believe. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ. We created him مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. We created him from نُطْفَة, from a drop. Yet he comes as an opponent. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Does not all that or just a glimpse of that give you the full tranquility and yaqeen of who my Lord and your Lord is? To our brothers and sisters who are facing these doubts in مَنْ رَبُّكُ, look into the ayat. Look into the creation. And wallahi, it will leave you no room. But look at it. When you look at it, contemplate. Like the Quran says, yatafakkar. Think about it. Don't just look in your eyes. No, it's looking, the kind of looking that makes you think. Don't feel bad that doubts came to you. The shaitan of the humans and shaitan of the ins will always come after you. But you have to take measures to resist those doubts and fight them. If you don't fight them, then that's when you're doomed. It's not about the doubts coming to you. That's not the problem. The problem is when, if you don't fight them and resist them. Allah in countless verses in the Quran told us what the author here told us. He took it from the Quran. The author took it from the Quran. Look in the heavens and the earth. أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا. Look in the heavens. أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Look in the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. وَمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Look into it. Think about it. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do they not think deeply in their own selves about how Allah created them from nothing and how He will resurrect them? A few more, inshallah. I read a hadith in al-Bukhari. Hadith. And I ask you to apply it every morning. It's a sunnah. Look at the hadith. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه ما قال. بت عند خالتي ميمونة. Ibn Abbas said, I spent the night with my aunt Maymuna. Who's Maymuna? Maymuna bint al-Harith. She is, radiallahu anha, our mother, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's also the aunt of Ibn Abbas. So he said, I spent the night in her house. Where did he spend the night? He spent the night in Maymuna's house, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house, and it was the night he spent with Maymuna. فتحدث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مع أهله ساعة ثم رقد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم talked to his wife, talked to Maymuna for a little bit, then went to sleep. And this is actually a side issue. One of the common questions, like I told you, there's a lot of common. One of the common questions is how men treat their women. Look how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم treats his woman. Easy, laid back, helpful, carrying the duties of his wife. The tasks of his wives was his tasks. The duties of his wives was his duties. Humble. We have some brothers' treatments to their weak wives. The woman is weak. That makes the heart melt sometimes. Sometimes some people are tyrants in their houses. Fir'auns in their houses, yet house cats outside. Here Ibn Abbas states this little detail that the Prophet ﷺ had what we would call today a heart-to-heart chat with his wife. Before he went to sleep. Look how beautiful that is. The best man to walk on this earth. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الثُّلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. When it was the third end of the night, one third end of the night, and this is the point why we're mentioning in this hadith, you do that every morning. When it was at one third end of the night, he got up. The Prophet ﷺ got up. Got up to look and think. He got up and looked at the sky. فَقَالَ إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ He looked at the sky, then he recited, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ ثُمَّ قَامَ فَتَوَضَّأَ وَاسْتَنَّ فَصَلَّى 11 رَكْعَةً ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ بِلَالٍ فَصَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ Then after looking into, he looked in the sky, he recited, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ The verses at the end of Ali Imran. Do that! Look every morning when you wake up, get up in the morning, open your door, go outside and look. And recite, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ What do those verses mean? Verily, in the creation of the heaven, in the earth, and in the alteration of the night, in the day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. This is before he did anything. This is how he started his day. This is the start of the day. Before praying his qiyam, he got up, he looked to the sky, and read, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ Can you imagine? Can you imagine that you look in the sky and you get reward for it if you do it for the because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it reciting inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard you get ajr for looking in the sky and reciting those verses not only do you get ajr for that but it's an iman booster to start your day with to cleanse your heart and mind from any doubts the shaitan may give you and put and instigate you in the matter of man rabbuk then after that he made wudu then he made sunnah And then he prayed 11 rak'at. Then Bilal called for adhan. Then he would pray 2 rak'at, sunnah of fajr. Then he would go to the masjid. Why did he look into the sky? Why did he look into the sky before anything? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why did he recite those specific verses when he was looking into the sky? Look at this hadith, this beautiful hadith. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, And in the alteration of the night in the day, there are indeed signs for those who think, those who comprehend, those who have minds. لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ Start your day like that. That's your vaccination to kill doubts, to keep you confident in your Lord, in your Creator, the one who sustains you, nourishes you. If you're going to work, or you're going to school, or you're going to interview, or you're going to take a final, or whatever, if you're going on a normal day, After you look into the sky and you recite those verses, you go with confidence. The one who created, you tell yourself, the one who created those will not let me down today. The one who created those in detail and in precise calculated way and nourishes the skies, the creator of that, he's going to protect me today. No one can defeat the creator of that. No one can defeat the creator of that heavens. So I'm confident what happens to me is going to be by the will of Allah because no one can defeat the one who protects me, Allah. A man, an old man with no teeth. I've seen him in prison. They asked him once, someone asked him, how you get your strength? He's sentenced to life. How you keep going? He said, all I need is to go to the yard. You know, in prison, the windows, they're basically, you can't see nothing. You see another wall. So he said, all I need is to go to the yard. And the yard is surrounded by walls. So all he can do is look above the large, high walls. Look above in this. He said, all I need is to look to the sky and my dosage of iman is set for the day. That's all I need. A few years before my release, I met in prison for the first time in my life, a brother and who became a student of mine in prison, John Lind Walker, who you may all have heard of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his release. A man who became a close friend, a very close friend of mine and a student of mine while I was in prison in my final few years. One day, inshallah, I'll mention more details about that brother to raise awareness for him. May Allah hasten his release. There's a time when they open the doors for breakfast in prison to let you go out. And it was a habit for this man to go to the cage that they call the yard. It's a little simple cage, like a dog cage, to go into the yard and look into the sky. And then he will walk back to his cell. Walk to the yard and back. The Quran wants you to do that. To look and think and look in the sky. It said, فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ Look over and over again. If you look at Hamza over there. Skinny Hamza. And then you got Waleed, who's a bodybuilder. Hamza's arm, Waleed's arm is bigger than Hamza's waist. You look at that, you compare the two. Over right here we have, Allah has the supreme examples. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى You look at the heavens. in the earth, and you think about it, and who created them, then you say to yourself, there's nothing that can escape him. That's the one I depend. That's the one I worship. That's my Lord. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Then the author mentions, after he mentions this, he mentions two ayat, which we'll mention them in, inshallah, next week. والدليل قوله تعالى ومن آيات الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر. Basically, we gave an overall tafsir of those. لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. That one is in Surah Fussilat. That's the first proof he gives. And basically, our talk at the end of this class is actually a tafsir to that, overall tafsir to that. And then he mentions another proof, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Inshallah, we'll go slightly over them next week, and then we'll move on. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.